Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, and as a Reiki master teacher and medium, have studied many modalities that open the mind and heart to the endless miracles and wisdom of spirit and creation. Today I am delighted to welcome Tori Hartman, also a professional intuitive and author, who will share how a near-death experience 20 years ago led her to study and learn about color and the chakras and their power to transform and heal lives. We will discuss her beautiful, empowering chakra wisdom oracle cards. Hello, Tori, and thank you for joining us on the show.
Yay! Hi, Cheryl.
Nice to have you. Okay. Tori,
thank you.
As listeners of Healing From Within have come to expect and respect my guests and I, we share our intimate stories, challenges, and forward thinking and our ideas as we learn more about energy, our multidimensional lives, and try to find answers to questions into the universal mystery and beauty of life and its many possibilities. In today's episode, we will learn the difference between oracle cards and tarot cards and how to bypass your conscious mind and trust your intuition while learning to engage the neutral observer. Tori, I always love to ask my guests, now you have to do a little work here, and think back to your childhood and try to remember a person, a place, event that may have been particularly important to you and may have been a precursor, perhaps, to the adult that you've become and the life that you pursue now. So think back for a minute.
I remember I was about 3 years old, and it was a blizzard outside, and my father was in Arkansas, and he's an actor, and he was on tour, and he had phoned my mother and promised her he would be home for Christmas. And he had this big chair in my living room, and I remember sitting up in that chair. My mother tried to remove me from the chair because it was late. It was like midnight, and my mother kept coming out and saying, "It's time to go to bed." No. And I kept looking at the door and looking at her and saying, he no come. He no come. And I was waiting, and I was angry. And my mother went to bed, and it must have been, I was later told, it was after 2 a.m, and my father walked in the door, and he scooped me up, and his cheek was cold, like the day he died. But it was that memory of one of many, many, many times my father coming through for me in life. And I think that experience, and I had a tumultuous relationship with my mother. She had the disease of alcoholism and all of that, and yet my father always, like in to the best of his ability, he always came through for me. And I think that really shaped me in terms of having a foundation for my life.
But, our families offer the most challenges for us to remember who we are as spiritual beings. And there's no growth through just things going perfect, because there's really no perfection either, not in this physical world at any rate. But there's no failure, but there's always love. And that was a true moment of love. And look how you remember it all these years. You can even feel the cold on your cheek.
Yeah.
And you trusted spirit, and you trusted your father. And that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
And
And he really, it's interesting, Cheryl, one of the things that I want to share with you that was really present for me at the top of the call that comes forward, and it was something I was teaching yesterday in one of my classes, is that we spend our lives trying to avoid confusion and get clarity. Mm-hmm. And what I was saying to people, and I'm going to invite the listeners right now to imagine your best memory, just like you said, great memory, like, what is the feeling you want most in your life? And for me, I love that feeling of being inspired, like inspiration, right? When I'm inspired, or some people it's intrigue, or it's, elation, whatever that exciting feeling is, I'm going to invite you to take the word confusion and I'm going to have an equal sign, and I'm going to put that exciting feeling. Because for us, the idea of being in the unknown, especially you're talking so much about spiritual beings, we live our lives in the unknown. And so we spend some of our time talking, and here's the link where I'm linking this, just so everybody knows. I'm linking our brain and our intuition idea here, because a lot of people say to me, what's the difference between my brain and my intuition? How do I know? And I always say to people, you know, your brain's job is to protect you and to constantly keep you safe. And you assigned it that from the day you were born, like from the day you came in. So when your intuition says, wow, this is something I really want to do, your brain, like a computer, goes, and it goes all the way back, like you said, and remembers, is that an unsafe thing? If it looks similar, like if it's a tree, it's a tree. It doesn't matter that this one's a cherry tree and that was a old birch tree. It doesn't matter. This, don't eat tree, you know. When we go into any kind of upset, you know, when we go, I can't do this, I quit, this doesn't make sense, it's not working, all of those thoughts tell you that your intuition is trying to speak to you. So when people say to me, I don't know, I don't hear my intuition, it's always talking, just like we are. We're always talking, right?
Yes.
It's like, let me tell you. And the thing is that our brain goes, no, that doesn't make sense. Well, the truth is, the things that seemingly don't make sense is simply because it's in a language we may not be embracing in the moment. So,
it's
you know,
a clue.
Anything...
It's a clue. They're
right,
all
right.
clues
That's
and
exactly
messages
it.
Of inspiration from energy, from source, from a higher life force, right? And they work with us, through us, around us. And yes, it is a different language. The language of spirit and love, meditation and prayer is a different language when you make the connection. That's very beautifully said. So we have to live in the physical world, and we have to live in our energy or intuitive world, but we have to bring them together so that we can have this best run in this world and accomplish the most essence, most growth for our spiritual energy, because it's not just about the physical world.
I think that one of the things I really like to do is I avoid terminology that's a buzzword. So I talk like a real person. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know about you, Cheryl, but sometimes we go out and people go, you know, I'm just feeling like I'm completely releasing this into spirit, and I'm perfectly okay with the fact that my boss was abusive and fired me, and now I'm just going to move on. It's a lesson. It's for the highest good. And it's like, I'm looking at that person. I looked at one girl. I looked at her. I go, you're mad as hell. What are you talking about? And she was like,
well,
you know, because I think...
Yeah,
I
you're telling her to feel the emotion, not to live in it,
right.
Not to own it
well,
forever and ever, but be real,
well,
yes,
be real,
authentic.
Right?
Know it,
and
feel it, and
the
then you don't have to stay in it. Yeah.
And that's the thing. But I think, you know what I want to say? I want to just say, you stay in it as long as you need to. That's
right.
My message to people.
Right.
You know, because I think one of the things that we tend to do, you know, not... You know, and I'm saying as a whole, like, you know, a lot of us doing this work, sometimes we do what I called years ago, and now I'm hearing it everywhere, spiritual bypass. We just kind of use some kind of spiritual net to cover everything. And just to give you an example, I was doing a radio show, I guess, a couple of years ago, and this woman comes on, and she, because I, you know, as you know, I read cards, and this is where it changed for me. And she came on and she said, and she was crying hysterically, she said, does he love me? I need to know if he loves me. And I said, ma'am, I said, who cares? You're miserable.
Right.
You don't need a psychic.
You
need
to
a
love yourself, right?
Well, but you see, here's the thing. That's what I'm saying by spiritual bypass. She won't know what love yourself means. It is not in her vocabulary. She wouldn't even get that. You see, sometimes we forget that you and I can say, well, love yourself, and we can look at the steps to that. But you know what? It took me years to understand. When people would say, love yourself, I go, oh, that's so stupid, because I didn't know what the steps were. Until one day, I had someone who said, you know, I'm really unhappy. I don't love myself. And I said, wait a second. Don't you have a nice home that you bought? And she said, yeah. I said, don't you work at a great job that you love? She said, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, don't you? And I went through these things that I knew she had, the external. And she said, but that's not my internal. And I said, let me tell you something. Your internal reality reflects your outer reality.
Yes.
So the truth is, you gave yourself nice things. So somewhere in there, you love yourself. Now,
Right.
where you've got
Well,
this old pattern going.
we're recreating our life, and if things are working well, then it's because you are living well, you're thinking well,
Right,
you're
the
being
pattern.
well,
But
right? The pattern
there's
is there.
another piece to this, Cheryl. There's another piece that we sometimes forget, and that is that we may have moved past those old buzzwords. Right? So if we look at that woman on the radio, right, she didn't know how to love herself. You see, what I'm trying to differentiate here is not the techniques to do with what we do, but more like we have to meet people where they are. This woman
Yes.
needed therapy, not spiritual work in that moment. And,
Right.
because I think everything's valid. I'm the person that says, when I have a backache, I go get acupuncture. Now, the thing is, you know what you need. And sometimes people are in such upset, we can't help them with applying spiritual tools that they don't know how to use, which comes to what my work is about, which is making spiritual tools simple so that there's always a so that you can apply them. Like they're realistic. They're not just, because I had this conversation. I love that you brought this up. I had this conversation with a woman in my club, and she said to me, so I know I just need to love myself. And I said, well, what does that mean? And she went, I don't know. And I said, that's okay.
Well, it
Like,
means, well, really, it means you have to get past your low vibrational thinking and anger and
but you see,
pain and
we know that.
sorrow and
You
sin.
and I,
Yeah,
but we know
but
that.
you've got
You
to
see,
start somewhere, and
well,
you have to
but
put in
her,
the
but you,
effort. You can't, you got to put in some
except that,
effort here.
but that doesn't mean she's not putting in the effort. It just means she doesn't know what to do. See, I think that's the thing. It's like sometimes we just have to say, you know what? I know I'm not, quote, loving myself, but I don't know what to do. So going, diving under the wave, as I like to say, and getting to what that person needs. So when I said to this woman, and I was in rapport with her, hey, you don't need to know about whether this guy loves you or not. Because that's just, as you're saying here, Cheryl, that's lower vibrational. It's like
Right.
shooting heroin, because that's just a fix.
Yes,
It's not the
absolutely.
real issue. So I think the biggest thing that we can come away with in this conversation is when we know what the real issue is, we may not know how to resolve it. And I just want to say that's okay. Like, we
Well,
just have to
that's
be
it,
still
getting
long
to
enough
the
to find it.
problem or the underlying fear, because everyone wants
Right.
to move from fear or pain to joy and
Sure.
happiness, but they don't know how. That's what you're saying.
Right.
And almost every
Right.
experience, every minute of the day, is a constant reflection of trying to move in our experiences from one end of the spectrum to the other. But we can learn how to do that by being aware, paying attention, watching the
Right.
messages, the intuition, the clues, your card reading. And see, I'm an intuitive. I meditate and I get all this information for people.
Right.
So yes, we can offer what we do to help people begin to look within themselves at the real
Right.
causes of whatever dysfunction or pain or unhappiness or sadness they're experiencing. That's all they have to do at the beginning. They have to realize
Right.
there are causes, and once they're exposed, like anything else, we have a solution and a way to go forward. But let's go on to, you
Yeah.
said you had a near-death experience 20 years ago, and it was valuable to you. Can you tell us about that and how life changed after that experience?
Well, it's funny because, to me, it's kind of like, going, well, I had a near-death experience, and then, and people are like, what? So it's kind of like, that's how my story always goes. People go, wait a minute. But actually, I wish it was a really sexy story, but I'll try to make it as like sexy and interesting as I can. But basically, I got some kind of weird stomach flu, and I just got sicker and sicker and sicker, and I called my dad. And he came, got me, and rushed me to the hospital. And literally, I was sitting at the end of the gurney, and I looked at the doctor and said, I don't think I'm going to make it. And I fell backwards. And somehow I remember turning around and seeing myself falling onto, like onto the gurney, but somebody caught me. And then I started to turn around and I saw all these people running in the room. And then all of a sudden everything went black and I heard a steel door slam shut.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so quiet. Literally, there was nothing in the space. So what happened for me was, in that moment, I was like, this is really cool. And I all of a sudden I felt like almost like a tractor beam pulling me straight up. And as it was pulling me up, I was like on my back almost being pulled up. And I was like, this is so peaceful. And in the distance, I saw like the white light that people talk about. And
mm-hmm.
it looked like shadowy figures moving back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so peaceful. And then all of a sudden, I went, wait a minute, I'm not breathing.
Mm.
And I didn't hear my breath. And I went, no, I got stuff to do. And I started fighting. And as I was fighting this energy, all of a sudden, it was like it cut me loose. And I went flying back into my body and, like, literally sat up and, you know, took a deep breath. And everybody was like, oh, my God, you know, and, like.
But as a result of that,
you know,
you decided to move to Los Angeles and you reconnected with a friend. And you began to channel through a voice that spoke to him, was giving him inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
And you say you recorded 20 cassette tapes about energy and timelines, right? So,
mm-hmm.
so
yes, I did.
Was it that experience that made you able to connect higher to spirit and channel information? Or did you have that ability before?
Well, I always had an intuitive ability. All right. I was always kind of like into the woo, you know, and I was always like that person. I always loved cards and all that fun stuff. After that experience, and I did that whole time period with that person channeling that information, I recognized that something was moving through me. And
right. mm-hmm.
it was soon after that the angels started telling me these stories, these fables, which ultimately became the chakra wisdom cards.
Yeah.
Because they came out as fables first.
Right. And they came from spirit and through inspiration.
Definitely.
And it may have been
definitely.
That almost out of body or near death experience that because when people come back, I've interviewed many, many people, they come back with enhanced spiritual gifts. And an awareness
mm-hmm.
to work and to create whatever it is in their gift to help people and themselves to grow and evolve. So that's a very good story. Now let's go on to what is the difference between an mm-hmm. oracle and tarot mm-hmm. card? Because your cards are chakra wisdom oracle cards.
Right. Well, first of all, tarot is just always tarot. In other words, there is no deviation from that. There's always 78 cards.
Mm-hmm.
There is always a major and minor arcana. And the minor arcana is where our original playing cards come from. So we look at our playing card deck, which is 52 cards.
Mm-hmm.
The only card missing from our playing card deck is actually, it's very interesting, the page, which is in the minor arcana, is missing from our playing cards. And the page is actually the spiritual messenger, the angel in the deck. So it's very interesting that they took out the spiritual messenger for the playing cards.
Interesting.
Then there
yeah.
is, I always thought that was interesting. And then the actual journey, the fool's journey, is 22 cards. And that is what's called major arcana. Now, they're major because they're more, I would say, you know, life lessons or major events, whereas the minor arcana, while they can also indicate major events, they really kind of go into more detail in the day-to-day things. So you will always find in a traditional tarot deck, 78 cards, there'll always be a death card, there'll always be a tower card, there'll always be... The thing is that a lot of tarot developers take liberties and change the name. So death may be, you know, reincarnation in some decks. Or
mm-hmm.
So the idea is that the tarot is always that structure. In other words, it's like there's always a New Testament and Old Testament. There's just, you don't change it. It's like that. Unlike an oracle deck, which an oracle can be based upon anything that is is true to the person. Like, for example, my friend Colette Baron-Reed has a lot of Oracle decks. I have an Oracle deck. Oracles are really based on something. So it will have a through line when you look at angel cards. Most oracles are really more on the original channeled side. They're more along the lines of like what you do and I do. They're a lot more individuated to the vibrational energy of whoever owns it. So, I think, for example, the chakra wisdom cards, what really differentiates them is that, well, 30 years ago, I had these angels visit me, and it compiled the deck, which became the chakra wisdom oracle cards. But the story of that, the journey of doing mastermind groups and meetings and people developing, the original fables have never changed. They've
Right.
always been the
Well,
same.
your cards have different characters and different, they work with each of the seven chakras, and they have the colors, the red, the orange, and the yellow, and the green, and the blue, and the purple, that relate to different areas of people's lives. And each card has a character, and each card has a story, and each card is meaningful when selected by a person for what's usually going on in their life. Now, I have had card readings, and the readers have always been right on the money. But they're also downloading messages from spirit, like I do in meditation for a client, using intuition, not using the cards. But I do have a little small package of miracle cards, tiny, that were given to me by a client years ago. And sometimes after a reading, I ask a client to just select a card. And it always makes me smile because the message is always in alignment to the theme of the healing session that just went on, and it reinforces. So we're not doing this alone. Even people who are not mediums who are working with cards are getting help from spirit to give the message or inspiration that a person needs. So let's go on to what is the neutral? I find this fascinating and a very important concept for our listeners to start to be aware of, because I think it's a way to create peace in the world and to help with relationships if people can become aware of this concept. So, what is the neutral observer, and how do you
Well,
engage the neutral observer?
okay. So, just so you know, this is like for me, the neutral observer is one of the most important concepts I teach. And when people get this concept, their life changes. I mean, it is a life-changing idea.
Yes, I think
And just
so.
so you know, this is in the, I don't know if you got this book, but it was in my third book, How to Read the Cards for Yourself and Others, and it's developed in there. But I'm still going to tell your listeners what it is. So basically, I just wanted to let you know where it is too. But basically, the
Well,
concept
I
of
know
neutral
what it is,
observer.
and I think it's one of the most important concepts we're discussing today. So please go on.
Okay, so basically, if we back up to the story of it, one of the things I recognized is that neutral observer, let me tell you what it's not. It's not being detached. It's not being unfeeling. It's not being uninvolved. It's very much involved. And what happened for me was it developed from, I know that you have the background, so I'm gonna tell you this part. Basically, the background was at one time, years ago, I would get a notice from the IRS, and you could literally peel me off the ceiling, right? And I always joke in the stories that I tell, I said, from a little company with three initials, IRS. And, people would laugh, and I'd say, yep. And so inevitably, those notices come on a Friday afternoon of a 3-day weekend, right? So you have a long weekend, and, I would just be crying and upset. I wouldn't even open it. I would dance around it. I didn't know what to do. And then, of course, you'd open it up on Monday and Tuesday, and it would say, you forgot to sign this, and it's like, really? I wasted 3 days of my life in panic. So
Most
what I
people
started
do.
to,
Most people
right?
do. Yes.
Exactly. So what I started to do was I started to develop and work with a technique where that I now call neutral observer. And what would happen is I would get a notice from this company named IRS, and I would look at it and go, that's interesting. That's all neutral observer ever says. Oh, that's interesting.
Yes.
And then as neutral observer, I would observe my feelings, what I was feeling inside. And I would say, that's interesting. I'm in upset. Now, I always say in upset or in anger because a feeling is a state I'm in. It does not define me. So I would say that and I go, that's interesting. And now I'm going to do the dishes. And I would go off and do the dishes. And I would really take that time to really observe how I was feeling, because what came forward to me in this is how we relate to the issue is the issue. So my upset was the issue, not the IRS. And it was very interesting. So I got to a point where, I'd get a notice, open it right away, look at it, and go, oh, okay, this, and this has to be complete. I'd call my accountant, I'd call the IRS. It became something where I knew what to do. And then you're going to love this story. When I moved from California to here to North Carolina, I moved to Asheville. I got forwarding address stuff, I got, and I'm not kidding, every day something went wrong in the IRS computer. Every day for 30 days, I was getting a notice from the IRS. We see you've moved. It's like, and it became, I literally like laid them out and took a picture to show a friend of mine. And it was just like, talk about neutral observer desensitizing, right? But what begins to happen with neutral observer and the technique that really works is that when something occurs, I step back and I go, wow, I'm really in upset over that. Or wow, I'm really happy about that. That's good. And here's what began to happen. When I made less meaning of the highs and lows, I was able to enjoy them more.
Yes.
And what occurred to me with neutral observer was one day I had somebody say, well, I'm trying to be detached and I'm trying to be in the neutral observer. And I said, then you're not doing it. Because the truth is, the neutral observer is very involved. You are in upset over something that occurred. Yet at the same time, you can breathe, and neutral observer can say, yeah, you're in upset, and
Yeah,
then
but
go do something
I
else.
think the neutral observer feels, but steps back, takes no action, and allows
That's right.
everything to unfold. So in staying calm and accepting, allowing, and surrendering, which are words in my book, The Living Spirit, we're actually flowing in life. And if people could get this concept and incorporate it through practice into their life, there would be better interactions. We might even conquer war. So I want to thank you, Tori Hartman, for sharing valuable insights for a clearer understanding of several tools, including chakra wisdom cards that help develop a greater connection to higher self and the universal laws of energy, so we may begin to access our intuitive soul wisdom and heal, manifest, and create the best version of life with help from spirit. We're not doing this alone. To find out more about how to read the cards for yourself and others, go to chakrawisdomoracle.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, Tori has shown us that often events that happen to us guide us from a higher consciousness of spirit to improve the quality of our lives, leading us to invest our time and energy into learning skills that support our physical life learning experiences through a clearer connection to energy processes. Reading the Chakra Wisdom Oracle cards enhances the natural ability that we all have to recognize our natural state of intuitiveness and soul wisdom, and the connection we also all have to spiritual guides who answer when called and can help us accomplish what we came into this physical incarnation to remember and improve. We may remember we are soul beings having a physical life experience in order to grow compassionately, lovingly, mature, and to refine our relationships, our love of life, and all life, and to create or manifest whatever we need in order to evolve and help ourselves, possibly humanity, and of course, spirit wants our help also. So whatever tool is presented to you, such as healing modalities, energy medicine, tarot or oracle cards, prayer or music or meditation, they are all keys to finding a comfortable union with mind, body, and soul. Tori and I would have you open your mind and heart to the possibilities that you are more than you imagine, and life is an eternal pathway to success, happiness, and fulfillment once you pay attention to the clues and messages and change any negativity within you. You can be the loving soul you actually are and have always been. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and I invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to explore the metaphysical world of authors, visionaries, scientists, and healers as we open pathways to a future that may include all that is good and loving within ourselves and project it out into the world. Shows may also be heard on DreamVision7Radio.com and WebTalkRadio.net. Thank you for listening.